Let's turn our Bibles today to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans, chapter 12. We're going to talk about today the subject of a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. We think of sacrifice as giving something up that we don't want to give up many times. But there was a greater sacrifice than we can ever imagine. That is God, or Jesus, giving himself up for us as a living, as a sacrifice. And he died and rose again from the dead so we could have life. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray that your Holy Spirit, God, anoint your servant to preach, anoint all of us to receive and to hear what you have to say, that you would talk to our hearts, Lord, as only you can do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Over to God. There's been no sacrifice or offering as far as an animal goes being killed to atone for sin. Jesus is a fulfillment of that, of all Old Testament types and figures of sacrifices, because he was a perfect Lamb of God without spot, without blemish. He was offered up on the altar of the cross to atone for my sins and yours. But since then, you and I as believers are to become a living sacrifice. Amen. And to give something up for God. And what God wants us to do is give up our life, give our life to him. Many people don't realize when they get saved, they say, well, I signed the church roll and checked the right square, and so I'm a member of the church, I'm on the way to heaven. Yes, but being saved means you give your heart to Jesus, your life to him. God, I'm going to be in pursuit of you from this point on. Praise the Lord. And so we want to be a living sacrifice. Amen. I was told years ago that a man or a mother brought her son to church, and as she was in the entryway of the church, she saw these pictures of men dressed in uniforms and the pictures all along the wall. And so the little boy asked his mom, said, who are these men here? He said, those are men who died in the service. And he said, well, did they die in the morning service or the evening service? No, they were pictures of men who sacrificed their lives to the freedoms that we enjoy in America today. Thank God for that. But there was a much greater sacrifice, of course, that was on the cross. Here we find that this writer of Romans instructs people that here he says, I urge you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Amen. And to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Amen. And so that's what we do when we're saved. We give ourselves to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And many people, when they get saved, they don't want old things to pass away. But if you really truly give your heart to the Lord, you're abandoning the life of sin for a life of serving God. You become a living sacrifice unto God. And the Old Testament animals were offered to God, and when that animal was offered, nothing was left out. And what remained overnight was burned outside the camp. So that sacrifice was a total offering to God, a total sacrifice. And Jesus' sacrifice was a final sacrifice. His blood was shed to atone for sin. He was the final sacrifice. He died and he rose again from the dead. He conquered death and sin for us. And he fulfilled all Old Testament types and figures and all animals that were sacrificed. They were just sacrifice pointing ahead to what would be the perfect sacrifice for sin. That was our Christ. And Jesus never sinned. He was perfectly holy. He fulfilled the perfect righteousness of the law, the only one that ever did. And he died and suffered for my sins and for yours. And so he was the last offering to be offered. In the book of Hebrews 10:14, it says, "For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." That's the church. That's the people that have come to Christ. And Christ is sacrificed on the cross, that one offering. Amen. When Christ offered up himself, that was the only offering that could atone for my sins and yours. But it did. And the only blood that was ever shed that could pay for my sins and yours. And so Christ was offered on the cross, and he carried his cross outside the camp, which is fulfillment of Old Testament as well. He offered on the cross outside the gate, the Bible tells us. Not only did he pay for our sins, but he carried our sins outside the camp. Amen. In Hebrews 11, or 13 and 11, it says, "For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach." Not only did Jesus die for our sins, but he carried our sins away. Psalms 103 and 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." You know, God doesn't call up our sins to say, "You remember when you did this or you did that." He forgives our sins and buries our sins. They are forgiven. Amen. And so that's good. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus was our sacrifice, who not only died for our sins, but carried them outside the camp away. He bore our sins. Praise the Lord. And so today in Christ, you're washed from your sins, you're sanctified, set apart from evil, devoted to God, you're justified, declared not guilty. Jesus did a whole lot on that cross. Amen. You say, "Well, I am guilty." Yeah, if you are guilty, and I am too. But Jesus declared us not guilty when we're justified by his blood. God sees us through the blood of his precious Son. Sinless Son. Amen. And so today you and I as believers are living sacrifices unto God. There's not any one person that could ever pay for one sin with their own life. But since we're born again of God's Spirit, we are a living sacrifice unto God. Our lives are. And our lives represent Christ to a spiritually dead world. A message of life that can set people free from sinful habits, that can set people free from addiction to things. I've seen God set people free from things they were addicted to. Amen. I've seen people that there was no cigarette that was just too much for God. God is able to set people free from that. That's just one thing, many things. Amen. And so he carried our sins away. And we have dedicated our lives to represent Christ's work of forgiveness, deliverance, hope, so people may see Christ in us. We are to be a living sacrifice unto God. Amen. And how can that happen? It takes the power of the Holy Spirit for us to be a living sacrifice for God. Amen. The book of Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says that the love of God is poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit given unto us. And so we know that we need the power of the Holy Spirit to live for Christ. So people say, "Well, I don't need that tongue-talking stuff. I don't need that excited stuff." Let me tell you something, friend. We're not talking about something just to get excited about. We're talking about the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from our sins. We're talking about the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit of God, that Jesus said, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you're clothed with power from on high." You need the Holy Spirit's power and love to walk and live a victorious, overcoming life, and God has offered him to us. The Holy Spirit, praise the Lord. And so, the writer here, Paul, says to the church at Rome, and says, present your body, amen. We don't like that very much, do we? present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. I can't just leave that out, can I? Because another place he says the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's a place where God dwells. If you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And today the body is used in many ways as far as the physical body is concerned. Even the physical body is worshipped in certain ways, you know. If I could just look like this, or if I could just look like that, or if I had hard abs instead of flabs. And would do everything to make the body attractive to the extent that it has caused the death in some. It's not anything. I've decided anything is in style today. Your hair can be three colors and you're accepted. Tattoos everywhere, earrings everywhere. There's not an ear. And anything is in style today. But what for God? How about holy living, holy speech, wholesome, decent activity and conversation? That's what God wants. If you've truly been born again of God's Spirit, God, it affects what you do with your body. Now, I'm not here to preach a clothesline sermon. You know, I've heard plenty of that growing up. I grew up, you know, and they preached, you know, that ladies had to have long dresses, long sleeves, long hair, usually a long tongue to match. I don't know if that last part was scriptural or not. Anyway. But there's nothing wrong in, you know, we ought to look like a Christian, but there's no, you know, when I... People have made up things all along, but yet God knows what's in our heart, and that's really what matters. But we should be holy in our living, in our speech, what we talk about, wholesome, decent activity and conversation. Praise the Lord. God's called us to holiness. You know, holiness is not popular today because people think of holiness, they think of it that you can't move without sinning. It's not the truth. Holiness is just being devoted to God. Man. But holy living requires something of the body. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Let me give this example here. I remember great singer Karen Carpenter. And when she was just a teenager, after she was called chubby as a teenager, Karen began dieting. And when she slimmed down from 145 to 120 pounds, her friends and family praised her weight loss. But something happened to her. She was a wonderful singer. Now, she was a secular singer. And I wish she could have been sung. I wish she'd have sang for Jesus because she had a great voice and a very, very talented singer and songwriter. But it was only after her weight continued to plummet to a skeletal 90 pounds in the mid-1970s that they then realized her health was in jeopardy. She was the lead singer for the Carpenters, Grammy-winning a band she formed with her brother. But she died on February the 4th, 1983, of heart failure related to her long years struggle with anorexia. She was 32. That's a sad story, but you see, it's a story of where that things got out of hand. And where the body mattered more than the soul. But I want to tell you something, friend. The soul matters. And we're to present our bodies. It doesn't mean you have to look like like you're standing there, look like a zipper. All I can see is your tongue sticking out. No, doesn't mean that. But it means that we present our bodies a living sacrifice to God. God, just take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit. But today there is spiritual anorexia. People starve spiritually. And too many times never feeding on God's promises, but feeding on the lies that this world has to offer. But always feeding carnal things that cause spiritual death. I don't know how Paul endured all he endured except that God helped him. That's the only answer there is. How did he endure being stoned and left for dead at once? They threw rocks at him and killed him and stoned him until they thought he was dead, but they got around him and prayed and God raised him up and the devil tried to stop him, but he got up and started preaching the gospel again. He never quit. Praise the Lord. And so also he was stoned, he was shipwrecked. One time he spent a day and a night in the deep treading water to stay alive and to stay above water so he wouldn't drown. And he endured beatings with rods, and he endured in prison for preaching the gospel. He's the first prison ministry. But he was there for preaching the word of God, and when he got to prison, he wouldn't quit there. He started preaching to the prisoners around him and to the guards. Some of them got saved. I tell you what, the devil couldn't shut him up. Because you see, he was dedicated to God. He was a living sacrifice. And no matter what they did to his body, he was going to testify for Jesus as long as he had breath to breathe and air, and as long as God gave him health and strength, he was going to preach the gospel, and he did. And he said in the last part of his work, he said, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. And there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me that day, not for me only, but to all those that look for his appearing. And so we know that he presented his body. He was a living sacrifice. And how did he endure all he endured? He fed on God's promises and God's words continually. He didn't starve spiritually. He didn't have spiritual anorexia. He didn't starve spiritually, but he fed on God's word. He knew God's word. He was a Pharisee before he was saved. And then he had all the Pharisaic training and all. So he knew the Old Testament well, so he knew what to concentrate on. And he fed on God's word, only now he had the truth of God's word. He was a living sacrifice. Praise the Lord. Let me give you this illustration. Do you know what a bad dog is? I'm not talking about one that has a car seat and that you pat while you're going down the road, and hopefully you won't have a wreck. But I'm talking about a dog that just is mean and wants to bite you no matter what. That's kind of like sin that just wants to keep biting you. But if a bad dog comes to your house and you feed it, even if it's bad, it's mean, it bites you, but if you feed it, it'll come back because he's a bad dog. So you just keep feeding it, it keeps coming back, it keeps biting, it keeps causing harm. And in the spiritual sense, if we can see sin like that as something that just keeps biting at us, but we need to get rid of it and quit feeding the carnal man. Quit feeding the sinful, the part of you that wants to go and do wrong and look at wrong things and do this wrong and that wrong. Okay? So we don't need to feed this old carnal, sinful flesh. We need to feed the spiritual man. Praise the Lord. We need to starve the bad dog. And we need to feed our spiritual man off the Word of God. It's the way Paul made it. He fed continually on God's Word and His promises. And therefore, he was able to lay down his life at the end and be a living sacrifice all of his life since his conversion. Okay? And so great had been the mercy of God that this constituted a reason why that they should present their bodies as a living sacrifice. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, we're to honor God with our body, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Amen. So my body belongs to God. You look at it, it may not be much to look at, but it belongs to God. Amen. And so God wants us to honor Him in every way, to be a living sacrifice. Now I realize there's been carnal things and there's been legalistic things taught about this, that, and the other, what you should put on, what you shouldn't put on, what paste you should put on your face to make you look 20 years younger. It won't work, but anyway, they'll sell it to you that way. But we're to honor God in all that we do. In the Old Testament, sacrifices had to be without blemish, without spot, no defect, no broken limbs, no diseased animal was proper to be offered to God for sacrifice. No physical deformity of any kind. They had to offer their best animal for sacrifice to God. They had to give God their very best without blemish. And they could have said, God, I can take this calf, this animal to the sale, and I can get good money for that. But if I get this one here that has a broken limb that's not very good, they won't pay me much for that. No, God didn't accept that. He said, I want the best you have. Amen. That doesn't mean if you have something wrong with you physically, God doesn't want you. That doesn't mean that at all. We're talking about animals here, not people. Because there's something wrong with each of us, except you. So they had to offer the best animal sacrifice to God. But when God asks us, He wants our best. He deserves our best because God gave us His best when He gave His Son. And God deserves our best service and the best use of the gift that He has given us. And God has given each of us something we can use for God. Amen. It may not be as flamboyant as you think it ought to be, or may not gain you as much as attention that you think it ought to. But my friend, if you're serving God and living for God to draw attention to yourself, you're not really serving God. But when you serve the Lord and you want to give God what you have, say, God, take me and use whatever's here, and I'm yours, and I belong to you, and I want to be used for your glory. I want to be a living sacrifice, one who walks with you and loves you and serves you all my days. That's what God wants. Because you see, second of all here, God is about life. We're to live this gospel, not just at church, not a dead church, but a church that is alive by the Holy Spirit. In the book of Revelation, there, when Jesus addresses the churches, He addresses a church in Sardis. He says, you have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. I've been in churches like that before. And I preached at a church early in my ministry, and I didn't know this, but the pastor's wife was having a carnal connection with a deacon in the church. It wasn't this church. I promise you it wasn't. And I got up, I couldn't preach. It was hard to preach. I couldn't say anything much, and it didn't take me long. I probably had the record for the shortest sermon ever. But there was sin going on in that congregation. That's the reason it was hard to preach there. And, you know, God cleaned that out. I didn't. And so I'm glad He did. But, you know, we are to honor God in our speech. We're to honor God, glorify Him in our witness of how He changed us. And how He can change anyone. You've heard it said over and over, if God can save that person, He can save anybody. We can put anybody, and everybody can put their self there. If God can save me, He can save anybody. Praise the Lord. Because, like the writer of Amazing Grace said, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound who saved a wretch like me. Because that's what God saved when He saved me and saved you. You say, well, I wasn't that bad. Oh, but in the eyes of God, all sin is bad. And we needed cleansing. We needed purifying. We needed, and only He could do that with His blood of His Son. And so we see God, the world needs the truth about God, not a warped image. It has been given by foolish, corrupt minds of a godless leaders and politicians. This world needs the truth about God. He is a living God, not some religious figure of past ages who had a good set of rules for people to live by. I want to tell you this Jesus we have, He is Emmanuel, God with us. He's perfect, He's pure, He's holy, He's true, He's righteous, and He's gracious and merciful that He would save such a person as I and you. Man. And Paul the Apostle, he persecuted the church. He put Christians in prison. He threw his vote against them when they came up to be executed for their faith. But God saved that man. You say, well, if God saved him, He could save me and He could save anybody. That's the truth. He did. And God saved Paul and made one of the greatest preachers ever. Wrote most of a large part of the New Testament. And to the point where Paul would write to the church in Galatia, he says, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul said, I don't have anything to offer. All I've got to offer you, Lord, is me. You take me. And he said, I am crucified with Christ. He said, the old me is no good. Amen. And so my life is going to be a living sacrifice. He said, I'm crucified with Christ till it's no longer I that live. The world doesn't need my old man. The world doesn't need my carnal nature. God, the world needs to see Christ in me. And so He became a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Better translation, New American Standard, in this verse, not always, but it says, which is our spiritual service of worship, because we make Christ Lord of our life and we become a living sacrifice. It is a worship to God, our life is. Worship is not just singing choruses or hymns. Thank God for that. Praise the Lord. I thank, love, singing. But it is our life as well becomes a worship to God, a living sacrifice. God, help us to be a living sacrifice so that the world can see Christ in us. Amen.